with Josiah and Herbie. Oh!
On Hit 96.9.
Well, let's keep this quick because I'm hungry.
Look, huge show today. A bit more of a serious one with everything going on in the States. We were lucky enough to have a close friend of the show, Hunter McLeod, who's in Chicago at the moment. She joined us on the show.
Yeah, unbelievable insight into what's unfolding into America. Plus, we spoke about why it affects us here, right here in Australia, what you can do to help out. Had a whole bunch of other stuff on the show as well. Benny Harlan, my good friend, joined us about the cardboard cutouts at the NRL. Remember that?
They're quite good. I'm liking them. And also, we wanted to know what you've achieved in isolation. One of my friends, she's, dare I say, an overachiever.
Yeah, plus we found a solution for coronavirus. There's a vaccine, but unfortunately someone stole it. Who, how, why? We'll tell you all in the catch-up. Thank you so much for downloading and have an amazing day.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
We know that today restrictions are being lifted just a little bit here in Victoria. We can now have 20 people around at your house and you can go to some pubs and restaurants, you can get to cafes. It's kind of exciting, I reckon, for a lot of Victorians today. This is the day they've been waiting for.
Yeah, this is what the hard work's come down to.
And there has been some people, though, in isolation who have done better than the rest. We know some people have struggled, and that's fine, and it's great to speak about the struggles as well because you want to be open with everyone out there.
There's two people in isolation, those that overachieved mm-hmm. and those that under. And I don't think there's a right or wrong answer.
No, there isn't. There isn't.
Some people need to do nothing. Other people need to do stuff. It kind of is taking people in different directions. There's no right or wrong.
And one of the overachievers is one of my good girlfriends from Melbourne. She's done something that really has taken the cake. Like, I look at her and go, well done. Isolation has treated you very nicely, my friend. So first off, around a month ago, her and her partner bought their first house. And I thought, well done. I mean, a lot of people are looking to sell their houses at the moment. Not many people are buying.
It's a good time to buy if you can, for sure.
So they bought the first house, and I thought, that's the first one you've done well. Then just over the weekend, she's gone and got engaged. She's bought a house and she's bloody engaged, while Herb's over here hasn't got no friends here in the Golden Valley.
Usually when you're on Facebook or Instagram, you know, over Christmas holidays or in summer, our winter European summer, everyone's getting engaged.
Exactly.
But it's come a bit earlier this year because everyone's doing it because of the coronavirus lockdown. My feed is filled with people.
It's interesting. Mine isn't so much as filled as people because I think a lot of people who want the big proposals, you can't do it anymore. You're not going big when you're going at your home unless you're real creative.
Fellas listening out there, if you've always wanted to do a low-key one or you can't afford the big extravagant, great excuse. Sorry, I planned on proposing to you in Italy. However, coronavirus hit, so unfortunately I'm just going to have to do it in the bedroom.
It's true. Now, would you say you've achieved anything much in isolation?
I'd say I'd be the opposite kind of person.
An underachiever?
I'm one of those people that are so intense and always on the whole time that this time has taught me to slow down.
To relax, which is great. And that's why we're saying it's not great to be one or the other. It's great to be both.
Yeah, I've taken a lot away from it.
For myself, I feel like I'm similar to you. I've been able to wind down a bit, but I do applaud myself and give myself a pat on the back for moving to a new town.
That's right. You did it in the middle of this.
Yeah.
We managed to continue to do a radio show. However, I definitely didn't have any babies, no engagements.
Nothing.
No.
We haven't had anything to go, wow, 2020, what a year for us. But we thought it would be great to put it out to you guys because maybe you have been an overachiever. Maybe you've been able to achieve something which you're really proud about in isolation. Maybe you too did get engaged or buy a house. And that's what we want to know this morning. What have you achieved in isolation?
Megan is in Tatura this morning. What have you achieved in ISO?
Oh, got very exciting news, actually. My partner and I have been trying for a really long time to have a baby, and it's been very unsuccessful. And I found out 5 weeks ago that I'm pregnant.
Yay! Great news indeed. What do you put it down to? Trying a lot more than usual?
Oh, that may be the IVF.
And do you know what? Maybe now that we have been stuck in isolation, you've been able to take a minute and slow down and maybe not stress as much about trying to get pregnant that it has helped your body.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It was a massive surprise. So we're very excited.
Oh, very happy for you, Megan. The other thing is, at the start of all this, many people said that two things will happen during the isolation period, divorce or more babies. Fortunately for you, it was the latter. Any chance of divorce or we're all celebrating babies this morning?
I really hope not, and we'll end that there because I don't want any questions in my partner's head.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
Now, Herbie, 1 week today since George Floyd was killed in America. For those that haven't seen the story, it is everywhere. A white police officer had his knee on George Floyd's head till he died. Unbelievable scenes, isn't it?
It's disgusting what everyone has seen on the internet at the moment.
While we're so far away from what's unfolding in the US, obviously the violence, the riots that we're seeing, everyone's upset. We're actually a lot closer to it than you think. It's not just a news story that we are watching unfold on the news. It's something that you and I listening right now can actually create a change in the world. I'm going to tell you how we can do that very soon. But there is a lot of frustration about, which we can both understand. We're not in their situation, so we don't know how they feel. I do believe, though, violence is never, ever the answer. There's been a lot of build-up to it, and I understand why it has happened. The people are at boiling point. However, the mayor of Atlanta, Keisha Bottom, she outlined this beautifully as to why violence should not be the answer over the weekend.
You're not honoring the legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights movement. So when you burn down this city, you're burning down our community. If you want change in America, go and register to vote. Do it in November. That is the change we need in this country. You are disgracing our city. You are disgracing the life of George Floyd and every other person who has been killed in this country. We are better than this.
Oh, powerful stuff.
Powerful. Very powerful.
I'll tell you what, if she was my mum, you'd be listening to exactly what she said, or even our mayor as well. A very, very good close friend of mine, Toby Castle, he moved to America last year, and he's actually now a writer and racial literacy researcher. He campaigns daily for black rights and black lives. So I spoke to him over the weekend. I asked him for his thoughts on what's happening and how we can help change. This is what he had to say.
The one thing they must be aware of is that they just can't remain silent. So use whatever platform they have. Probably also things not to do. Don't merely say, oh, I'm sorry. Don't merely say that this grieves your heart. People of color don't need tears. People of color need solidarity and action. Conversations must lead to action.
Action's a big thing that I'm hearing.
Actions speak a lot louder than words. I definitely agree with that. Don't just say something. You've got to put actions towards it as well.
How? I'll tell you why very soon. But one of my closest friends right here in the Goulburn Valley, he's actually from the Republic of Congo. His name's Fabrice. You've met Fabrice before. Great guy. I had a good chat with him yesterday as well. And I asked him what the George Floyd situation meant to him and how he's feeling about it. And this is when it really, really hit close to home for me. Listen to this.
The answer, to be honest, is fear. We're scared that this will continue happening and our community will be silent about it. As a community, not condemning such acts against black people is like saying it is okay or it is not our problems. Then we should not wait here in Shepparton for it to happen.
Right here. Someone right here on our doorstep is feeling like that.
It brings it so close to home, doesn't it?
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. And I know we speak about everything going on in America and some people say, oh, it doesn't affect us. But we have to remember that Australia was built on the genocide of black people. Like, we haven't never really accepted that. We've instead celebrated that every year. So it is something that we need to acknowledge as a country.
And unless you are those people, you don't know how they feel.
Exactly.
So what you can do is change. And that's what I'm going to outline for you now. If you're feeling a bit helpless, how can you help? And I was yesterday. I'm like, of course I don't like it. I'm not a racist. But how can I change?
What can you do?
Exactly. So I wrote down a few things yesterday after speaking with both Fabrice, Toby and a few other people. The first thing, Goulburn Valley, you can do to help out is change your mindset. That's the first thing you can do. You can listen now and think, Josiah, I don't like racism. You might not think that you're a racist like I don't as well, but that doesn't evoke change. That's just one little thing. You need to stand up and change through your actions. You shouldn't just be an anti-racist. You have to hate racism.
Yep.
It should anger you. We need to use our privilege to bring equity, not equality in our society. That's very, very important. Another way to help out, and Toby touched on it before, is to educate yourself. It's very important to do this. Speak up, read, sign petitions, donate, stand for injustice that you might see right now.
And if you're young and you've got questions, ask them. There's so many questions that need answers to, and there's people out there who can't answer them.
Kids, if you're listening, ask your parents. Parents, answer those questions. Also, don't wait for permission for those around you to make change and to act. Do it now. Don't wait for your partner. Don't wait for your family, your brothers and sisters, your friends to do it. Do it right now. The world needs you to change, and it needs to start now. The last thing, which I'm actually so sick of seeing on social media and stuff as well, stop with the negativity.
Yes.
It doesn't help. Something I read yesterday I thought was quite powerful. If you're not working for justice, stop calling for peace.
Exactly.
Very, very important. So Golden Valley, I'm putting the call out to every single person listening right now. Shift your mentality. Shift your attitude immediately. If we start right here listening right now, every single person listening, that can have an echoed impact around the world, even if you don't think it doesn't. Don't settle with that passive attitude towards something that matters. Black lives do matter. George Floyd's life, it matters just as much as you or I and our lives as well.
It only takes one person to stand up to start that change as well. So if you are against your partner and your partner has different views, don't allow that to stop you thinking your ways.
100% agree. And from this moment forward, if I can leave something with you guys, lead with actions because they speak way louder than words.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
I always thought I was a good leader. It's something that I have really believed in myself over probably the last 10 years. I found out that I'm an okay leader.
Didn't you fluke your way to becoming school captain?
No. It was an amazing campaign. And I was school captain of my school back in Melbourne. I think there was 1,200 girls. I was fortunate enough to be voted school captain.
What did you teach them? How to scull a beer?
Taught them a good time. But I found that I'm a good communicator. I mean, we work in radio, so we're quite honest people. I'm very passionate about certain things. And so in my own head, I thought, yeah, you're an okay leader. In my family, my brothers come to me. In our friendship group, I'm often the one that's sort of organizing holidays or activities. The one they go to, I guess.
Again, so when everyone comes to you, when they sit down, the only advice I come to you, so Herbs, what's going on? Just so you got girl problem? No. How do you scull a beer?
And I can help you. I can help you. But look, come Saturday afternoon, I realize that maybe I'm not as good leader as I thought I was. Because I went for a little day trip with my girlfriends on Saturday in Warburton. So there was four of us and we were going to La La Falls, which is just a small little hike to a nice little waterfall. Now, I was leading the pack, had my three girlfriends, Meg, Ash and Dell, behind me. And this is where I realized that I'm a terrible, terrible leader. So we're walking along. We've got a pretty good pace going. And as you know, I don't shut up. So I'm just speaking the whole time. Like, la, 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 la.
Were you singing as well?
Yeah. I chucked in some tunes. Thought you know so. Me. And anyway, we kept going. And at the start, I could hear a bit of panting behind me. I was like, okay, the girls are struggling a little bit, but that's all right. They're behind me. And it wasn't until I got to the waterfall and I was like, oh, girls, how good is this? And I turn around. They're not there.
You kid, where'd they go?
I've left them behind.
Well, you were so caught up in your own world.
I was just talking to myself. Well, I thought I was talking to them. Turns out just myself. That they've stopped at one stage, obviously to take a break or something. And I've just forgotten about them. So I've marched on myself up the mountain. I've got to the falls with no friends.
Surely they yelled out to you, Herb, slow down. We're just having a break.
They're probably sick of me.
Or do you reckon they just didn't hear you, like you were yelling to yourself that loud that you couldn't even hear them?
That could have been it. I think I was just so focused on myself, which is not a good sign of a good leader.
But yeah. Makes complete sense as well.
Don't vote me in for captain anytime soon of anything.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Over the weekend, the first round of the NRL happened. To all you Melbourne Storm fans out there, including you, Herbie, because my Canberra Raiders absolutely spanked you.
You're one happy man, not just on Saturday night, but come Thursday, you're excited. Friday, heard about it again yesterday, just that NRL's back, and then you getting the win, the big W, you're happy about that as well, but I'm just more keen for the AFL.
Yeah, less than 2 weeks now.
Yeah, June 11th.
I can't wait for that as well. Over the weekend, the NRL tried something which has gone viral all over the world, and that's the cardboard cutouts in the crowd. For $22, we spoke about it last week, you can put up a cardboard cutout of yourself, a family member. People are putting their dogs in the crowd. Whatever you want, $22, it's up there. Great idea.
Amazing idea, and not that expensive, and you get the money we know is helping the NRL.
A few characters started popping up in the crowd. One of my favourites. It's actually quite somber. Harold Shipman, if you don't know that name, he's one of England's most prolific serial killers in modern history. Someone put his head on a Canberra Raiders jersey.
I love when people get things through to the keeper. I love it. It's just made its way through.
Another person that went viral was one of my good mates, Benny Harlem. He's one of my best mates. He was one of the first people to have his cardboard cut out. So he was front and centre in every game over the weekend. His head would just pop up. And I wanted to get him on to talk about it now. Benny, thanks for your time this morning.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Benny. Now, how do you know about doing this? And because obviously after you were one of the first and after that, everyone's gone nuts for the rest of the weekend with it.
Yeah, I just saw it on an article. on the newspaper over the weekend saying that they were going to do it because in Germany, in one of the soccer stands, they did a similar thing. So I thought it'd be quite funny if I set up one for me and one for my grandparents. And then sure enough, right on the TV, there's me being zoomed in on. and then my phone lit up for an hour. So, you know, always fun.
Were you happy with the shot that you used of yourself?
Yeah, I was. I must say that when I was looking at the others in the crowd and there was parents that were holding their kids but the kids' heads were cut off and then there were other ones that you couldn't really tell what was going on, I was like, you know what, I'm comfortable with the shot, although wearing sunglasses at night during a night game kind of makes me look like a bit of an idiot.
That's true. My favourite thing about it was as well, Benny, is that when Fox Sports, they literally zoomed right in the crowd on your face, and a lot of the memes that you're seeing all over the internet at the moment are screenshotted and your face is in them all. Did you have a favourite cardboard cutout that was seen around you at the game?
Oh, look, I like being a part of being a meme now. That's always fun. You know, I like the ones that people have photoshopped, you know, their dogs on there, or maybe some inappropriate internet memes that are on there. The thing was that I was trying to submit some photos of you, Josiah, to put on there, but they said that that you were not as aesthetic as everybody else. They said you were too ugly to be on the television coverage. So I'm trying to find a decent photo, but they're just not approving it.
Mate, you've got to stop sending them the ones of you and I kissing. That's what you need to do, Ben.
Yeah, if you actually put a shirt on for once, maybe they would approve the photo.
Get off the phone, Benjamin. Thanks for your call.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie
on Hit 96.9.
Right now, though, I want to test your general knowledge, Josiah.
And why me? Why is it always me?
Well, I mean, there's no one else in here.
Yeah, but why are we not doing this to you?
No, because you did it early with the riddles. Now it's my turn to ask you a question.
Now, you know I'm not great at this stuff. Hit me, though.
Okay, so what I'm going to ask you is top 10 of the trickiest pub questions are from the UK. So with the UK being in lockdown at the moment, lots of pubs have come together and they've released their questions and they found that there's 10 that everyone always tends to get right.
What do I get?
Incorrect.
What do I get if I get them right?
A bit of pride.
That's it?
That's it.
No prizes?
Bragging rights.
McDonald's voucher.
I'll buy you a coffee after the show.
Appreciate that. Can I get a smoothie? I've had two coffees already.
Yeah, maybe that's actually best for me to get you a smoothie.
Otherwise, I'm going to go crazy.
All right, question one. What is the world's smallest country?
The Vatican City.
Yes, correcto.
Bang!
I knew you'd get some.
Goulburn Valley.
Gosh.
Told you I'm smart.
Well done.
Every single one of you that doubted me, think again.
This one I don't know if you'll get. What are the first three books of the Old Testament?
Genesis.
It's one.
Exodus.
That's two.
Leviticus.
He's good.
You're welcome. You don't have a name like Josiah and not know the books of the Bible.
How many sides does... Oh, I can't even say the word.
Oh, come on.
Myself. A dodecahedron have?
Well, deck means 10. Do, I don't know. I'm going to roll with, I'm just, decagon I think is 10. Do might mean 2 times 10, so I'd say 20, but I'm going to roll with 10.
You were close with your maths, 10 and 2, 12.
Oh!
Should have just added them up.
Well, I thought 2 maybe times 10, 20.
Yeah, no. What were the names of Henry's, the six wives?
No idea. Elizabeth, Mary.
Yeah.
Any of those right?
No, you're not right.
Kate.
What nationality was Charlie Chaplin?
American.
No.
I don't even know who that is.
Charlie Chaplin?
I know the name.
You don't know who Charlie?
What did they do?
It's the Charlie Chaplin movies, the actor guys.
Oh, yeah. Let's go with England then.
What are the names of the five oceans?
What's the answer? Hang on. Don't
oh,
skip
England.
Over
it's British. Sorry.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Sorry.
I knew that was from
British.
One of the countries.
What are the names of the five oceans?
I know this one. The Atlantic,
mm-hmm.
Pacific,
mm-hmm.
Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Josiah. Come on, you're better than this. This is my forte, geography.
You got two more.
For the sake of radio, I'm going to have to say pass. If you gave me a second, I'd know
Arctic
it.
Arctic and Southern.
Yep, knew that. Got them all right.
And what are Africa's big five animals?
Lion, tiger, cheetah, monkey, Herbie.
No.
Was I warm?
Lion, leopard, rhino, elephant,
giraffe.
And cape buffalo.
Not even a giraffe?
No, no. And we'll end on this one, see if you can get this. Which chess piece can't move in a straight line?
I know the one. It can only go forward and left. It's the little horse.
Yeah, the knight.
I'm right?
Well, it's not the horse, but it's the knight, yeah.
There we go.
You're smart.
10 from 10.
No.
Yeah, that's 10 for 10. Anyone that doubted me, just know. I know I come across and try to play the simple, dumb guy on the show.
You're smart.
Yeah, it's just a forte. I just put that out there and pretend.
Well, because the pub's open this week, maybe the trivia will start back up. You can definitely be on my team.
Herbs, how's this? In primary school, I was Ducks.
Of primary school?
Yeah, I topped primary school.
Ring you down, it's primary school. How'd you go in year 12?
Yeah, I got just over 50%.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
How's this in India, which I want to talk about for a second. Coronavirus hasn't been too bad there. They're putting it down to the climate. However, they've come up with what they think could be one of the first ever vaccines for corona.
Oh, I can't wait till we get that headline that breaks one morning saying there has been a vaccine.
We need it. There's a whole bunch of sample kits and all that sort of stuff in a lab over there. Now, someone's broken in and stolen it.
Understandable if you want something to your name, like maybe you're hoping to leave this world and be known for something. And if you were the person to create the coronavirus vaccine, yep, sure, you'd be known for it. So I can see why someone would steal this.
You wouldn't want to be known as the person that steals it. Lucky it wasn't a person. A bunch of monkeys have broken in and they've stolen the coronavirus samples in India, and they've jumped up a tree and they're hiding there, and you can see them chewing on it. Not great. Not great. It's not what we're after at the moment,
monkeys
is it?
Monkeys scare me. I know they're cute in some movies, but they, not for me, no thanks. When I went to Bali and you can go see, it's a monkey temple there, and they were there. Didn't like them.
Fun fact about me, as I've always said once I retire.
This is another one. Yeah, Sorry. This is nothing about the vaccines. This is facts about Josiah this morning.
We should just be doing a fact a day keeps the doctor away with Josiah. When I retire, I want to work with monkeys at the zoo.
Really? I'm obsessed. Just monkeys?
My number one animal in the world.
Have you played with them before?
Never met a monkey in my life.
Really?
I've seen one at the zoo, and that's about it.
See, they're cute at zoos. When they're out in the wild, they're a bit more rogue in
well,
my eyes.
How's this? This monkey that's up a tree, they've gone up, and they actually got the coronavirus samples off the monkey. Which is great.
Yeah, we want them back.
What concerns me even more, though, about this story is that the professional scientist, the head of Scientology there, his name's Dheeraj Raj. I don't know if that's how you say it properly. He's come out and said, when we got them back from the monkeys, they were still intact, and we don't think that there is any risk of contamination or spread. Now, they're going to keep using these samples. When a disease like coronavirus started from a bat, and now some monkeys have gone and bitten into some other samples and they're saying, nah, she'll be right.
I think you're not doing it?
It concerns me a little bit.
So you wouldn't have this vaccine?
No chance.
Fun fact third about you, you're an anti-vaxxer.
I just prefer vaccines that aren't contaminated with monkey juice in them. Thank you very much.
Fair.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
We know with everything bad going on at the moment, at times, we do need to reflect on some good things. So I've got some feel-good stories to share with you this morning for your Monday, just to let you know that the world isn't the worst place at the moment.
Oh, there's a lot of bad stuff, like you said, but there's a lot of positive stuff that you can keep your eye out for. Send them through to HitGV on Instagram as well if
love
you do have stories, personal ones or things in the world. We love to hear them.
So a couple of weeks ago, we saw over in Detroit, there was a priest over there who had come up with a very creative way of giving the holy water. Because churches, people couldn't go there. So he was using a water gun. So he was standing outside the church and people would drive by in their car and they would wind down their window and he'd use a water gun to shoot holy water at them.
The best.
I mean, love it. And I tell you what, people have loved that idea so much that priests all around the world now have taken on his water gun idea, but they've taken it a step further where baptisms are now being used with water guns. So babies would normally have their head dipped, or not just babies, can be anyone who's getting baptized, their heads dipped into water. There's now images circulating the net of priests with water guns squirting the old holy water onto their head.
I love this so, so much. It's so funny though, because when you either, you know, you're in church and they put the holy water either on your forehead, or if you are getting baptized, it's such a beautiful moment that you remember for the rest of your life. However, when a priest shoots water out of a gun, I get that you're trying to be practical. I'd be almost trying not to laugh if it happened to me.
The baby photos would be amazing. You know, when you look back when you get to our age, you go, oh, I'll go look at my little kid photos. And you'd see that. You go, what's going on there, Mum?
Why has that priest got a gun to my head? He was shooting water at you.
And this other story, this is just beautiful. I think everything about this is just amazing. So a lady took to Twitter to share happened to her daughter. And it's gone bonkers over on Twitter. So her daughter is over in America and she's a nanny for a family over there, and she was supposed to have her prom last week, but unfortunately with everything going on, the prom was cancelled. So her kid that she nannies for, he's 6 years old, he made a prom for his nanny at his house. He got dressed up in a little tuxedo. He set up a D floor. He set up a dining area where they can have their meals, and he recreated a photo shoot. So he's got a prom photo shoot with his nanny. He's 6 years old. It's the cutest little thing.
You love kids. Show us a photo of it. Yeah. See, that's adorable. He's taken it one step down from what I did when I was his age.
What did you do?
I actually proposed to my nanny.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I got down on one knee and asked her to marry me.
I reckon there's a few people out there who got proposed to. I've babysat my whole life, and I know a lot of times I've been their girlfriend.
Yeah.
They go, I'm not. They go, yes, you are.
No, I am your fake mummy. Be quiet. Be quiet, kid. But I'll marry you in 10 years. No dramas at all.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
George Floyd's death has sparked rallies right across the world, particularly in America. They're turning violent. They're turning really full on, aren't they?
It's crazy. Intense.
Chicago alone is turning into a war zone. That's what it's been described as. And so we thought we'd get our correspondent on the ground in Chicago, Hunter McLeod. She joins us now. Thanks for your time this morning.
Yeah, no worries at all. How are you guys going?
We're good, but we're in, I guess, a safer part of the world at the moment. What's going on where you are in Chicago? What have you been seeing in the last couple of days?
You know what? It's pretty somber here this morning. I didn't go into town last night. I do know someone that went in. The entire downtown area has pretty much been smashed up, looted, set on fire. We've got this one major strip in Chicago where all the fancy shops are, your Burberry, your Louis Vuitton, all that, they've all been completely gutted.
Wow.
Everything's been stolen. It's kind of scary. I mean, I live to the north of town and I'm in a pretty safe area. Even I'm a little bit nervous on the streets today. It's going to happen again today. It's all over Twitter. Everyone's going back into the city to go for another round. So I wouldn't want to be a police officer here at the moment. It's pretty hardcore.
Definitely. Hunter, what's the emotion most people are feeling over there of both races, obviously of all races, I should say?
You know what? It started as a really beautiful, peaceful protest yesterday. There was a lot of solidarity between the black community and the whites as well. We were all coming together. There were silent protests. There were hands in the air. And it was beautiful. It was a really nice afternoon. And then it just turned and it became this just disgusting, vile blacks versus whites. It's not very nice here at the moment. So I feel like today is just going to be another excuse to set things on fire and riot. So the bridges between the north and the south of Chicago have been lifted. It's pretty well known that the white communities tend to stay to the north and the black tend to stay to the south. So it's really dividing the two cultures and the two races at the moment.
And how have you found it, Hunter, being Australian over there in America at the moment?
I haven't really had too much of a problem. Where I live, everybody's pretty pleasant to each other. I mean, that said, I wouldn't go out at night time. It's not like Australia. You can't just go out by yourself, walk to the pub, walk home. I would never, ever be out alone on the streets at night time. It's a different vibe to Australia, definitely. I do miss home in that respect, but it's hopefully we get through this and everyone comes back together, and it's just terrible.
Crazy, Hunter. Following a pandemic like coronavirus we've just had where everything's been in lockdown, and now to this, is everything kind of open and then back into lockdown, or are people still trading?
No, you know what? And I think that's really contributed to everyone going a bit crazy. We've been in lockdown here for months. It hasn't really lifted. We really only started to see a lift yesterday, but we still can't get to the lakefront. So no one can really exercise. You're not allowed to leave your house for anything other than essentials. So the built-up tension and frustration with everybody has probably contributed to this a little bit. We now have a curfew. We have to be indoors between 9 p.m. and 6 a.m.
That came in
last night as well. So, we're not easing up at the moment. It's a lot.
Well, Hunter McLeod, stay safe in Chicago, and we really appreciate your time over there, and we'll no doubt check back in with you.
No worries, guys. Have a good one.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
Herbie, we live in an absolutely crazy world. This story will blow your mind that stuff like this actually happens. And right here on our doorstep in regional New South Wales, this happened just over the border. Now, I can't believe people do this. There's a bloke. He's obviously a bit twisted because what he's done is he's arranged over Facebook. He must be on one of those weird wet Facebook pages. For two men, he has a fantasy of having two other men come up, tie him to a chair in his underwear and stroke him down there with a broom.
See, there's a lot of questions around that one. And I understand everyone has their own sort of fetishes or things they like, but when they express them in such a public place, that's what I'm quite baffled at.
And not with his partner either.
Yeah.
He obviously doesn't have one, so he's hired two random blokes to stage
Facebook.
A break. So what sort of fetish is that? You like people breaking in, threatening you to die, but just as you're about to die and you're tied up with knives held at your face, they start stroking your crutch with a broom.
It's an odd one, that's for sure. I actually haven't heard of that one before.
The two blokes got paid $5,000 between them for
Stop
doing it. Not a bad payday. You don't have to do much except hold a broom and
Would
stroke.
Would you be the stroker or the knife?
I'd prefer to be holding a knife. The fantasy was meant to be unscripted, and it was up to their discretion as to how it would be carried out on the day. Now, the best thing is they'd obviously worked with this guy before. He forgot to tell him that he'd moved house.
Oh, no.
He'd moved house a couple of weeks before, 50 k's away. Didn't update the two men. The two guys broke and entered into this address, startled a random resident. The guy's sleeping there. He had a sleep mask on an eye mask on his face, and they go there with knives held to his face. Once he takes the eye mask off, they realize it's the wrong bloke.
Oh, my gosh. Imagine the guy.
Guess how they react. They say, this is such an Australian thing. He takes his eye mask off. The two guys, they put their knives down, say, sorry, mate, shake the guy's hand while he lays there in bed and leave the house. Drive to the other house, call the bloke and say, mate, we got it. He gets there, arrives at the house. The guy that was meant to have his sexual fantasy fulfilled sat there, made the two blokes bacon and eggs, and they waited for the police to arrive and they got arrested.
I mean, at least they've got some tucker in their tummy.
What a story.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.
We are in the middle of this. Everyone's favourite game for a Monday to warm your brain up for the week. It is Meet Me in the Riddle. I put out the riddle just before that song, Herbs.
Dude, I'm still trying to figure out the answer.
It's really not hard. You are my brother, but I am not your brother. Who am I? 13, 12, 16. We do have Tyrone from Talamba. Morning, mate. What do you think the answer is?
Big brother.
Oh, you know what? You're technically kind of right, but your answer is wrong for what I need. Sorry, Tyrone. What are you up to this morning?
Just watching TV.
Oh, what's on at the moment?
I'm not sure.
Just the news. Hey, hold the line because you need to get the third one right, and if the next person doesn't, we can come back to you, all right?
Yep.
Thanks, buddy. Just hold the line. Let's go to Sherelle in Newmarket this morning. Morning, Sherelle.
How are you?
I'm amazing. I need you to answer. You are my brother, but I'm not your brother. Who am I?
I'm your sister.
Bang. Nice, easy one warming you up for a Monday, hey?
Yep, I'm pretty good with riddles. So.
Oh, riddle two then, Josiah.
What happens once in a lifetime, twice in a moment, but never in 100 years?
Once in a lifetime, twice in a moment,
but never in 100 years.
Yeah, no, you've got me with that one.
I'll go back, just hold the line. Think carefully. Think about it. What happens once in a lifetime, twice in a moment, but never in 100 years. We'll go back to Tyrone.
I have no clue. Like, I don't know what happens to my brain.
Hey, Tyrone, do you know what the answer is to that one, buddy?
What was it again?
Once in a lifetime, twice in a moment, but never in 100 years. What happens? It's something to do with a letter. Charelle's dropped off. If she's still listening to us, give us a call back on 13 12 16. Do I have to give this one away?
Can you give another clue?
I just did. It's a letter.
Oh, it's a letter. Oh, it's like a letter in it.
Does Mum know the answer?
It's a letter in the alphabet.
A letter in the alphabet that happens once in a lifetime, twice in a moment, never 100 years. for the sake of moving forward, it's the letter M.
Tell you what, your riddles were hard today, Josiah.
Oh, I thought they were easy. Tyrone, guess what? You've got this third one. If you get it right, you get a McDonald's voucher. How does that sound?
Good.
This one's a bit of a joke as well. It's a riddle and a joke, okay? Oh,
you funny man.
I'm hilarious. Why did the grandma sit in the rocking chair and she had her rollerblades on?
Rocking chair,
rollerblades. She sat
roller
in the rocking chair with her rollerblades on.
Was she... Oh, I won't go.
Tyrone, any answer?
Rock and roll.
Oh, he's good. Because she wanted to rock and roll. You know what? Just for that, you're nice and early, buddy, watching TV, listening to Josiah and Herbie. A McDonald's voucher all yours, mate.
Thanks.
Get up with Josiah and Herbie.
On Hit 96.9.